All right, John Dee is our speaker this evening, this afternoon, this morning, and he will be speaking on the second half of More About Alcoholism. Are you okay to be recorded, John?
Yes.
All right, take it away.
Hi, good morning, friends. I'm John. I am an alcoholic. I am beaming in from San Francisco, California. It's 11 a.m. here, so almost lunch hour. My sobriety, I'll just start out with a few basics and then I'll get into more about alcoholism. My last drink was October 16th, 2003. I've learned a lot in 22 plus years in 12-step recovery rooms, primarily Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic of what they describe the hopeless variety, meaning that I have the three phases of the disease of alcoholism. My body is different from my fellows, from at the average temp of drinkers. I never had just one. As a matter of fact, I blacked out on Crown Royal the very first time alcohol passed my lips. I have the mental obsession, okay? Which the key component of that, which is what the second half of More About Alcoholism is, and it's insanity. I'm mentally ill. I'm sorry, but I'm insane when it comes to my alcoholism. That's the truth. And the third component of our disease, or of my disease, sorry, I don't speak for anybody else, is the spiritual malady. I still, okay, so this is the only active part of my addiction right now because there's no booze in my body. I've been relieved of the insane thoughts that just one, I can get away with just one, no one's gonna know. I mean, I don't, thanks to the power that I call God, that no longer enters my mind as long as I don't rest on my laurels. So the only part of my disease that is active and I deal with on a daily basis is the spiritual malady. And of course, through the BBA and through countless AA meetings, I've been through the steps a number of times. It gives me solutions on how to stay fit spiritually. If I'm not fit spiritually, I'm in collision. And I don't like to be in collision because it might gnaw away at my serenity, which could lead to the mental obsession creeping back in, which my desire is to never drink again. However, I'll start addressing the specifics of the second half of More About Alcoholism, Chapter 3. They talk a lot about insanity in this part of the book. They use the jaywalker analogy, which sounds completely out of the realm for anything I would ever do. But then, is it? Okay, so let me tell you about some of my alcoholic insanity. I lived in an apartment complex, and after a hard night of drinking, I had a few beers left over. Out of a 24 pack, there was like three beers left over. So the preceding day and evening, I drank 21 beers. Not normal behavior, very alcoholic. So I was dumping them out at about 10 o'clock in the morning when I came to. And the apartment manager saw me and he says, "What are you doing?" And I says, "I'm dumping these beers. I'm an alcoholic. And I had a horrible day yesterday and I can no longer drink." So I dumped them out. And he says, "Don't dump them out. Give them to me." So I gave him the leftover soldiers. And about 4 o'clock, the insanity of the first drink overcame every other thought or rationality in my consciousness. And I went back to the liquor store and bought another 24 pack. And guess who saw me coming back into the parking garage, going to the elevator? He looks at me with both arms up and he says, "What are you doing?" And I just said, "Exactly. What am I doing?" And I proceeded to repeat the cycle over and over again. So that's the kind of insanity that they're talking about. And they're doing a really good job in this, in up until page 55, actually, or 51, I can't remember exactly where the page is, of selling me on the idea that I have been placed beyond human aid. My addiction, my disease has progressed to the point of no person, we read the ABCs in every meeting. I cannot be saved. And that's an example of what it looks like. I got sent to a sober living environment, which was a home, a community where we all live there and we're all trying to get sober. And I only made it 10 days in there before I relapsed. I was out on a courier job, the only job I could get. And mind you, I went from a corporate position to bagging groceries. I got in a fight with a customer while I was bagging groceries because I was so spiritually sick. I lost that job. So the only job I could get was a courier job. So here I am living in a sober living environment. I'm surviving on ham sandwiches. I got a little job to ferrier real estate documents between real estate offices. 7 days into living in the SLE, the thought came that I have 10 hours in my car by myself doing these things. What if I got a fifth of rum and matched it with my Coke? Well, I did that. And I got in a head-on collision. I lost my residence. I lost my job, everything in the span of 4 or 5 hours. And I still wasn't done. This is the insanity they're talking about. There's a quote in the book. I'm not sure exactly what page it's on, but it's the real alcoholic will absolutely be unable to stop on the basis of self-knowledge. I'm a reasonable guy. I'm functioning. Some people might call me, intelligent. It's not a, it's not a moral thing. I can't, and it's not. Self-knowledge is really going to avail me nothing. I just talked about what the insanity of my disease looks like. My insanity with alcoholism doesn't stop there. How does it manifest itself in my life today? Decades away from my last drink. Well, right now, currently, what's going on with me is sugar is killing me. My diet is killing me. It's the exact same scenario as I suffered from with my alcoholism. The insanity manifests itself when I go to Trader Joe's. It's a local store here in California, and they sell these dark chocolate peanut butter cups. And they have them right at the checkout stand. And I go into that store with the intention of not getting any sugar whatsoever. And then those things just get me every time. It is the exact same insanity. And then I go on a sugar binge. And once it gets in my body, my hunger swings go crazy. My blood sugar goes crazy. I'm 59. I'm 50 pounds overweight. I am still numbed out to the fact or unwilling to surrender to that addiction. And it's kicking my ass. So what does this all mean? This means that human power is not sufficient enough to overcome my various problems and my addictions and my mental obsession with sugar currently, And so what am I left to do? Well, the solutions are, in terms of my alcoholism, the solution was just like there were three components of my disease that I talked about, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. I can apply these to my active life in 12-step recovery rooms, which is fellowship. That's three sides of the triangle: recovery, unity, and service. So where am I at in my recovery today in terms of my alcoholism? I attend 12-step meetings. I have a sponsor and I have a sponsee, and I have sponsees, sorry. I'm very active in the Alcoholics Anonymous community. I love AA. It completely transformed my life, and I wouldn't want to live any other way. That's a third of my program currently. The service aspect of my program, where am I in service? Well, the good news is that I can be of service in every segment of my life. I can definitely be of service in the rooms by taking others through the book. I can definitely be of service to my family, my aging parents. I can show up. I can bring meals. I can support. I can give rides to and from the hospital. I can be at work. I can be of service at work. If I take a yes, I can help you attitude into my office, God, the day goes so much better. And, if I don't use the blind copy field of my email and I just pause, after I write something, especially if I'm in a reactionary mode. I ask God to remove the fear and the anger, or the irritation that I'm feeling. I can do that. So I can pray and I can meditate and I can be of service to others. I get paid for work, so that's not really in the altruistic realm, but I can just be a productive member of society by not engaging in things I can't change, and I work hard on that. And the third phase of what's going on with me today is my own personal recovery. How am I in prayer and meditation? I just finished a workshop last Wednesday, and it was from a guy named Chris, who is very proficient in BBA systems, who took me through the BBA. I also went through the BBA with two other people years back. And this workshop, we did the resentment inventory, we did the fear grid, we did all of it, and we did the sexual inventory. I can tell you that the sexual inventory of the BBA, I don't consider it a sex thing. I consider it a relationship inventory because it shows me how I treat others, whether it be coworkers, family, intimate partners, whatever. So this is the recovery phase. I'm constantly learning new things in recovery. I'm constantly in the book. And it's just saved my life. It gives me so many more solutions than any other recipe I've experienced in my life. And that's a beautiful thing. I'll wrap it up with saying what it's like today. What it's like today is, I'm 59. I have another 5 years to work. I'm already starting to kind of daydream about where I'm going to retire. And the only thing that I really have to keep in mind is, I have to plug into a 12-step community no matter where I go. And I am just on the cusp of starting to be willing to maybe look at a different 12-step group other than AA. And that I don't even know it. I've heard of others, OA, FAA. I'm not sure which one I would look into, but I'm really ready to surrender. My health is something serious. If I'm thinking about retiring and having some golden years, being 40 pounds overweight and not having a clean diet is not the way to do it. So that's my story. I hope people could relate, and it's good to be here with you all. Thanks.